thank the Lord for his goodness to us, and I'm thinking this morning about the ability that God has given us to speak, to sing, to communicate one to another. That's a great and wonderful thing. And I don't remember, but a young child, even very, very young, they learn hundreds and hundreds of words in a short amount of time. And it's amazing how that happens, being able to communicate. And I was thinking this morning about how important it is for us to communicate as well, and to be effective in our communication, and see the value of communicating to one another, to the Lord, and to those around about us, communicating the Lord's message of hope and salvation and help. We live in a world that needs hope. They need the hope of the Lord in their lives. And Lord, help us to be able to communicate that to people. And it's something, you know, they say to a woman's 12,000 words, a man has about 8,000. Women are, I think, more natural at it than men, but I think it's something all important for all of us and valuable to. And it seems like the older I get, the more I want people to know that I love and appreciate them. And I think I say it a lot more than what I used to. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older and know that I'll be passing off, but you just want to communicate your love to people, and I believe it's very important for us. The tongue, you know, words can be, they can be in a negative, they can have a negative deal. Words can be, they can be edifying, they can be helpful and hopeful, but they also possess the ability to be discouraging and hurtful and difficult. And there's different scriptures that bring out that. One, it talks about words being like the piercing of a sword. It pierces the innermost being, and sometimes we don't realize the weight of maybe our words, of what we say, but they are. And I know especially to children, there, one scripture says life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's pretty powerful. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. But we want to use our words, and it doesn't mean that we can't. I believe sometimes there's places for us to communicate truth and to communicate our heart, maybe things that are bothering us or troubling us. I believe there's, and that's what communication's for. That's what the Lord, and I remember Brother Stanley preached the message years ago, and he said in his message, he was talking about prayer. He said, I just tell the Lord how I'm feeling. The Lord knows it anyway. You know, we can't, hide you know, what's really there from the Lord. The Lord knows anyway, and I'm thankful we don't have to be in a certain frame of mind, you might say, to approach the Lord. I believe we can tell Him the deepest hurts, the deepest things of our heart, of our life, and He sees that, He understands that, and He wants to speak to us. He wants to talk to us as well. And I'm just thankful that we have an ability to communicate, that God has given us that gift and that ability to do that. I wanted to look at the scripture in James. He talks about the tongue here in the third chapter. The first verse, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." And that's what we want to work at. We want to work at discretion. I looked that word up, discretion. It has it in one of the scriptures I'm going to read this morning. But it talks about being able to distinguish differences and being able to distinguish in connection with this is when to speak and maybe when to not to speak. And those things are important. It said, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, or he's matured, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which are, though they be so great, and are driven by of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. You know, that's our words, in other words, can steer and help circumstances. If a helm can steer a great ship, and I believe that's what he's bringing out here, is that our words, our thoughts, can help steer circumstances and situations and problems and difficulties. Our words can help steer things in a right course, a right direction. That's powerful. Lord, help us. He talks about words fitly spoken are like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Very timely, very comely. And we need the Lord's help to help us to be able that our words would be a profit, a benefit, a blessing and help. He said in verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Now that's the opposite. Just like the words can control or help situations and circumstances, the opposite is true. How great a fire, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And we know what fires can do. And we live, when we were there in Oregon, we went, took Charlotte out for dinner there in Bend. She's living in Bend. And it's just, it's all smoky there in Bend. There's been fires around there. It's been super dry. They've had hot summer. And I compare that to our world today because it just seems like we're in a time that it doesn't take very much. And you've got a wildfire on hand that's going to be very, very contagious, very difficult to put out. And the damage, the collateral damage, the things that are so deeply affected. We were there in Oregon, what was it, a couple of years ago, there on Levita's funeral, and they had Mill City had pretty, I believe it was Mill City, some of those little cities, not just down from the mountain where Darrell Levita lived, it just, the fire just came through there. They almost had it out. The governor pulled the helicopters off, and the fire took off again, and many people lost. There was lives taken. There was homes destroyed. But he's bringing out the tongue. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. You know, the devil has an influence in people's speech. The enemy has an influence, and that's what he's saying. It's set on the fire of hell. It sets on fire the course of nature. The enemy can, and the enemy is a master at starting things like that. And I believe he probably sits back and laughs, but very difficult to put out, very difficult to stop, and it can be just a few words said in a wrong spirit, done in a wrong way. I want to go down to verse 8. It says, "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And I believe that's speaking in general terms, because I believe the Holy Spirit can help us tame our tongue. The Holy Spirit can help us, because he said up there that we read in the second verse, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body." This man up here in verse 2 has been able to bridle it. But down here, he's mentioned, I think it's just a general statement of the general humanity, that people cannot tame their tongue. They have to have the last word. Have you ever been there? I'm sure we all have. I'm sure we've all done that. Had to have the last word, had to say the last thing, had to speak our mind. But the Lord has something better. The Holy Spirit can help us tame our words. But it's a lot of what is in the heart that comes out through our words. If we've got some anger, if we've got some hurts that have never been healed, if we have wrongs that have we've never gotten real victory over, those things have a way of coming out at the time, sometimes that we least expect it. But if those hurts have been healed, and there's no anger down in there, and there's no bitterness, and those, it don't take very long sometimes to talk to someone, and it's pretty defiling, because it's like corruption, that's infection that's been there, that's down in their spirit, that comes out, that affects everybody. But he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs, or can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. And then he contrasts, said, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. This is the wisdom that the Lord wants us to have down in our hearts. That it comes out through our words and through our songs and through our thanksgivings. Wisdom that is first pure, a pure heart, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is a whole chapter speaking about our words, the tongue that come from the heart. And these last verses represent, it's deeper than just the mind, but it's what's working in our life that comes out in our words. And we want it to be the wisdom that's from above that comes out from us in our words. Another scripture in Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. He said, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. A soft answer turneth away wrath. And I know this works. By experience, a soft answer. And that word soft, it means tender. It means another, the Septuagint, I believe it said submissive. A submissive answer, a tender answer, turns away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. You know, sad to say, I've seen couples, and it's almost like a verbal boxing match. One of them will say a negative thing, another one says another negative. Then the first one will say another negative thing, and it's a verbal boxing match back and forth. And Lord, help us not to ever get into verbal boxing matches where we're... I think sometimes there's hurts in the past that people have, and then people, through those hurts, that comes out, things come out, but also they develop a habit of the way they speak to their spouse, and sometimes it's the ones that we love the most that people or should love the most that have abuse. But I think about the abuse that's gone on in the world today. Lord, I don't know how the Lord sees all the verbal abuse and things that happen in the world today. It's very grievous to the Lord. But he made comment in one place. He said, "By thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned." He said, "Every idle word will give account of in the day of judgment." And the Lord holds us responsible for the words that come out of our mouths. So Lord, help us if we fail to have the right attitude and we say something out of order. Lord, help us to be able to correct that and apologize, ask forgiveness, and make those things right that have been wrong. And I believe the Lord will help us do that. But it seems like people that never apologize, they just kind of develop a mentality, and they just follow those habits and those patterns that are not good, and they many times don't see and recognize what they're doing. They don't recognize the damage that it's hurting. I've heard someone tell one time they were frustrated by something else, and I knew what it was. I knew why they were frustrated, but they were taking it out on somebody else. Didn't have nothing to do with them. Didn't have nothing to do with the person there, but the person there was getting some of the verbal repercussions of what they were upset and mad about. And they didn't realize the damage, didn't realize. They were just so agitated and intent, and they didn't realize the sword that was going out of their mouth and the heart that was piercing. Lord, help us to be aware and sensitive to those things. He says, the eyes, the tongue of the wise, verse 2, useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, the Septuagint on this verse reads out, it says, the tongue of the wise uses discretion. I believe that's the way the Septuagint reads on that first part. It uses discretion. It's trying to distinguish timing. You know, something can be true that we said, and we can justify it. Well, that's true. Yeah, it might be true, but was it the right time? Was it the right place? These are all things God wants us to be able to consider. And the last part of that verse says, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. But the Septuagint reads, tells of evil things. The mouth of fools tells of evil things. Just evil speaking, evil surmisings. Verse 3, he says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Lord beholds the words that we say. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. You see what this is? A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's a blessing. It's a help. It's a source of strength to people. It's a blessing. It helps circumstances and situations. But it says perverseness therein. Perverseness, in other words, in the tongue, therein is a breach in the spirit. In other words, there's something wrong. There's something down here in the spirit that's causing it. It's not just the words themselves, but there's something deeper in the spirit. And I remember one time, it may have been more than one time, but I remember saying something one time, and the Lord checked me on it right after that. And I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. And the Lord checked me on that and said, yes, you did mean to say that. And so I had to apologize. There was something down inside that my spirit was Lord, help us to have our spirit in tune with the Lord's love and the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercy. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. I wanted to get one more scripture in 2 Samuel. This is quite an amazing story to me. 2 Samuel, the 20th chapter, and the 14th verse. It's speaking of Joab. It said, and he went through all the tribes of Israel unto Abel, and to Beth Makah, and all the Berites, and they were gathered together and went also after him, and they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Makah, and they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench, and all the people that were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then cried a wise woman out of the city, hear, hear, say, I pray you, unto Joab, come near hither, that I may speak with thee. And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, art thou Joab? And he answered, I am he. Then she said unto him, hear the words of thy handmaid. And he answered, I do hear. Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old times, saying, they shall surely ask counsel at Abel, and so they ended the matter. Now, apparently she's referencing this, and I haven't learned what this reference is to. But she goes on, I am one of them that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Thou seekest to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why wilt thou swallow up the inheritance of the Lord? And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. The matter is not so, but a man of Mount Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri, by name, hath lifted up his hand against the king, even against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. And the woman said unto Joab, behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall. Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and cast it out to Joab, and he blew a trumpet, and they retired from the city, every man to his tent, and Joab returned to Jerusalem unto the king. Now, this is quite a story. Here they had built an embankment. I don't know how long it took them to build this embankment, but they started battering at the city. It said they cast up a bank against the city, and it stood in the trench. And all the people that were Joab battered the wall to throw it down. I don't know how long this scenario, but they built an embankment. That took them some time. And then they started battering the wall, and they didn't know what was going on. They didn't understand. There was no communication between them until this woman came out and said, I want to talk to Joab. And Joab came and she said, why are you trying to destroy the inheritance of the Lord? And he said, I'm not. They didn't know that. Joab didn't before they built the embankment. There was no communication. They built the embankment. They started battering down the walls. You know, a lack of communication, a lack of just an open communication, being able to talk. This is a problem that we have. I've read different books, and I've got this thought from different ones that from different books that have brought this thought out. It's don't assume you know what the other person is thinking. I'm sure you probably heard that too. Don't assume you know what the other person is thinking. Express it in words. Express it. And then they even say a good skill is to repeat what the person said. Now, this is what you said. Is this? And repeat what they said. Am I hearing you correctly? To try to eliminate confusion or miscommunication or misunderstanding that can happen so easily. I remember Brother Leslie, I think it was in this pulpit, I remember him telling a story one time about him doing some plowing for one of the farmers over there at Anthony, Kansas. And he didn't really understand exactly how he wanted him to do it. And finally Brother Leslie felt so humiliated, but he went to him and he said, I'm sorry. He may have told him two or three times, said, I'm sorry, I still don't understand what you're wanting me to do. And I know sometimes, especially in my hearing aids, and sometimes it's hard to understand, and I don't always catch everything, and it's very, very difficult to say, would you please repeat that again? And because before I got hearing aids, and it still happens with hearing aids. Hearing aids aren't perfect. I mean, it kind of increased the volume. We were at Mom and Dad's last night. The house was full. The kitchen was full. People were in the dining room. People were in the living room. People were talking. I felt like going out and going for a walk. I didn't do that. But I felt like it because I wasn't getting it. When there's so much noise and so much talking going on, it's just hard for me to get. James and I was talking. He was telling me some things, and I wasn't getting it because there was so much background noise competing. And even when he was sitting right next to me, sometimes I had to say, I'm sorry, would you say that again? But it's important to be clear. It's important to have dialogue. It's important to be able to try to understand. You know, when we're talking, and to understand that we're really connecting, we're getting it, what they're really saying and what they're really referring to. But I believe the Lord will help us if we work it out. And I know, bear with me. I know my children were, you know, most of them would. I say, what was that again? They'd say, never mind. And that makes you feel frustrated, you know. That makes you feel, after a while, you kind of tune out. That's the wrong thing to do, to tune out. That's the worst thing that we can do. So, Lord, help us to give grace. But this problem here, life could have been lost. I mean, the city could have been destroyed because there was just a lack of communication. It's just staggering. But this lady finally said, "What is going on? Let's talk about what are your thoughts? What's happening? Why are you battering down our city wall?" And it saved. Said she in her wisdom went to the city. You know, it's wise to be able to communicate. And I'm not saying, my message this morning is not saying that everything has to be always positive. I'm not saying that. But when there is, we need to be able to speak truth. We need to be able to bring out truth. We need to be able to express our thoughts, our feelings, the things that's bothering or troubling us. But it needs to be, even though it's truth, it needs to be in a kind, considerate, loving, compassionate way when we speak things that would tend to be negative or on the negative side. But I'm thankful today that God has given us a voice. He's given us words. He's giving us, we have a vocabulary. He's given us wonderful songs of praise and thanksgiving. And we can, the more that we're filled with, to me it's a beautiful spirit, the more a person's filled with thanksgiving and praise and admiration and wonder to what God has done and what the Lord and who the Lord is, that's a beautiful life. I want to share just another little story, and I can't remember who told me this, but there was a ministers' meeting at Guthrie years ago, and there was some difficult things there, and I heard whoever this was, I don't remember who it was that told me this, but they said that Brother Willie's dad led out in prayer. And his prayer touched hearts, and it changed the course of that meeting. His words, the words that came out of his heart, blessed and helped in that situation. Maybe that's what we need more, is prayer. But our words can be from wisdom and love that helps navigate situations, that can help steer things in the right direction, the right course. And I am very challenged by that. I want my words to be have the Lord's sanction of approval on it. Pray for me.